starting on a new Bible study. And this is good. It actually fits into what the question and answer kind of hit. Stumbling block. Stumbling block. I don't know if that's what Charlie Brown with Lucy meant when she called Charlie Brown a blockhead. Is that the same thing? You don't think so? The whole lemonade stand. Okay, see, I don't know. All right, but no, stumbling block. And this is so important for us because in many cases, we are that. And the Bible tells us not to be that. So what this lesson is going to do, hopefully, is open up our eyes on how not to be stumbling blocks, right? How not to be. I think we've become so comfortable and so relaxed today, we don't care. We kind of have the attitude, oh, well, that's the way I am. Oh, well. And we watch people, and Christians, I'm going to be very clear. Please make sure you understand this. We are all supposed to walk on eggshells, Christians. Yes, we are, for everyone, based on God. Do y'all get that? I can't stress that enough. Now, when I say that, it makes me then look. And now, the way I know it is when I look to God. So I'm very careful on how I act, what I say, what I do, where I go, all of that. You know, even what Sister Arlene was asking about the movies, part of that is not the movie itself. Was so now how will it cause some people that may see me go in? How may it cause people I'm with? How may it cause people I talk to? You understand that? All of this stuff comes into play that I got to consider all of these things. So at the top of the page, walk represents our lives. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, the reason why I put that is because stumbling blocks tend to happen to people because of the sight. Now, if Christians walk by faith, we wouldn't stumble even when you cause a stumbling block. But unfortunately, what he's implying and letting us know, we don't. Unfortunately, including all of us, I think, even though if we lived our lives completely by faith, it's harder for me to stumble. But unfortunately, we still, sight is your emotion, sight is your feelings, sight is your senses, sight is, so the minute I see, well, why did they get, how many times have you felt as though, man, I'm doing everything for God, and you look at this person and did it for 5 minutes, and you're like, what, but that's a stumbling block, you understand that, by faith, you're like, amen, to that person, even though inside you may feel a certain way, you're like, amen, because, man, I trust God, I'm rooting for God, and I understand, a stumbling block comes from the Greek word, which is where we get the word scandal from, and is scandalon. It means a snare, figuratively cause of displeasure or sin, occasion to fall, of stumbling, offense, thing that offends, stumbling block. Purpose for a stumbling block is to distort the way or to delay. Now, I wasn't trying to rhyme there, but I think I did a good job. That's pretty good. See, okay. All right. So, I know Deacon Charlie looks at my rapping skills and be like, man, Pastor Keith, you missed your call. Okay, anyway. But so the purpose for a stumbling block is to distort the way or to delay. And that's the thing. Now, so if I am the reason in your walk that either I'm distorting the way you go or I stop you from going the way you're supposed to go, I'm a stumbling block. Do y'all get that? And for whatever reason, and it could be me purposely doing it or subconsciously doing it, in both cases, I'm still in trouble. Does everybody understand that? And now, a Christian then is watching, how am I? You're questioning that all the time. And that's what we have to keep in mind. Now, what God let us know is all stumble. James 2, verse 26 says, we all stumble in many ways. Okay, so he just made it clear. He's saying in the perfect world, we'd all walk by faith. But he's saying, no, we all stumble. Okay, he's saying if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So that's why if you ever think or you talk to somebody or you feel that they are just so perfect, they're lying, you're lying, you're seeing the line there. No, there's not. There hasn't been one. There is not one. The only perfect person was Jesus. That's it. And I said only Jesus. And we have a book full of apostles and prophets and people that were called righteous, but it was only counted righteous. But they all stumbled. All of them. And then praise God, we got to see the story of David. We watched him trip, flip, and do everything else other than stumble. You understand that? And he was a man after God's own heart. And it's important for us to understand that. So knowing that stumbling happens, we just got to be careful that we're not the cause. Look what he says here. And this always shakes me up when I see it. Being the cause of someone stumbling is a horrible thing to be. He says in Matthew 18, verse 7, woe to the world Because of the things that cause people to sin, such things must come. Now, what does that mean first, before I read the second part of this? The world, because we distorted it and we handed it over to the kingdom of the air, or whatever, in other words, Satan, he's going to use it as his kingdom of stumbling block. So we live in a stumbling. That's why when people say, I'm going to make the world a better place, you can't. You understand? Like, you understand? It's like trying to make mud undirty. I'm going to clean my mud. I mean, does it make sense? I don't understand how you do that. Okay, I'm going to get it. How do you clean mud? You know, and it's mud. It's dirty. That's what it is. And we're in this mess, and it's distorted. And it's saying, so that's the purpose of the world. And that's one reason why he says, do not love the world or anything of the world. We'll talk about that a little later. But the key is, he's saying it's supposed to happen. But when I let the world use me, is where it becomes a problem. That's what it's saying. But woe, remember I told you, anytime you see the word woe, it should be one of those of, I don't want to be on the other side. When it says, but woe to the man through whom they come. Now, let me give you an example. If you know how the world, we have trends when it comes to clothes. What if my clothes, what I wore, is a stumbling block? What if my style is stumbling block? Well, everybody's wearing it. What if my entertainment, well, everybody's doing this now, stumbling block. Y'all see where this is going? Okay, my finances, stumbling block. Remember I told you, as a pastor, I'm going to be very clear. There is nothing wrong with a pastor, let's say, owning a Bentley. Okay, however, as you see in today's world, the minute people see it, they immediately call them, say, that's why I won't go to church, and blah, 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 and the money like that. So most pastors would go, you know what, it probably wouldn't be wise. I'd probably cause somebody to stumble. So the buying the Bentley is not wrong. It's the fact of what can I now do when somebody sees me driving it. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? And that's the key we have to be careful of, in which I'm going to deny myself and go, I could get this, but I'll go ahead and get this instead. Does that make sense? Because this has less of a chance to cause people to stumble. Amen? You know what I mean? Not that there's anything wrong with a Honda, right? Amen, sister? Right? That's right. All right. Praise God. All right. So just keep that out there. Nothing wrong with a Honda. But it's not going to cause so many people to stumble. I don't think people going to go wild when they see my Honda driving down the street. I don't know why. But I watched it today, just to let y'all know. But anyway, but it says, woe to the man through whom they come. So when I allow the world to use me to cause you to stumble, and it can be on something very basic, that's when I'm connected with the world. Okay, that's when I'm connected with the world, I can cause you to stumble. And it can be something as simple as how I dress, the things I'm doing, how I live. So be very careful with that, because God's saying, whoa, he's saying, oh, you're going to pay for that. I will be talking to you about that. And that goes in every way, so keep that in mind. We'll talk more about that. And we endanger ourselves by causing someone to stumble. Matthew 18, verse 6, he says, but if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, okay, so now I even go straight to it. If I am the cause of you sinning, in other words, now remember, sin is still a choice. You have to do it. But if I am playing a part in making you sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned. It went straight there. Not just thrown to the water. He's saying to actually be drowned in the depths of the sea. And better for you to have died than to cause that person to sin. And a lot of us, we may do it every day, and we don't take this. Like I said, because we don't take this serious, we should look at us and go, oh, wait a minute. He's given me something significant in how I am and how I am towards people. We take it like, oh, they know I didn't mean well. Well, I can't force somebody to do something. I can't make them do it, if that makes sense. Yes, sir.
I saw that verse. And I looked up what a millstone looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
it's ridiculous. It would break your neck before it put you in the water.
Well, it's not even the chair falling on your neck might break it. Millstone that's used to ground out mill is thousands of pounds.
Oh, it is.
Like, you'd be dead before you hit the water.
Right.
Drowning wouldn't even, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
Maybe the drowning does something to your skin. I don't know.
Because
the millstone would snap your neck like a toothpick.
So he goes to extremes. Like, I'm glad you even used that for the visual, but that's what he did to show us. He's saying it's better to have this extreme painful death than to cause somebody to sin. And today we do it almost with a, oh, well. Do y'all notice that? And so he's not talking about the sinner now. He's talking about the person who caused the person to sin. Does that make sense? If you played a part, you should be fearful or in a reverence of God. And that's what he's saying. That's why I got to be very careful in how I am around people and what I do and what we how we act. And we are not to be each other's judges. We are to be each other's helpers. As I said in the past sermon, we are to assess and assist. Assess and assist. Let's read this and we'll see what it's talking about. Romans 14, verse 13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment. Now, let me show you what that means. Sometimes we do stuff to people based on how we see it. And they'll be all right. Or if you can't take this, then what kind of person are you? What kind of man are you? What kind of woman are you? We do that based on us. Not because the Bible told me to say that. We'll first demean them. We've already judged them. We already condemned them. And he's saying, no. That should never come from a Christian's mouth at all. Okay? Because you're strong in an event and they're weak in one. You don't demean them because of it. Do you understand that? He says, stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put stumbling blocks or obstacles in your brother's way. Now, you may go, why do I have to make up my mind? And then it'll make me go out of my way to make sure I'm not the problem. Once again, the proverbial eggshell, every Christian should be walking. Everyone. Every Christian should be waking up and not just a, how can I serve God, but how I say, how I act, what I'm wearing, what I'm driving, where I live, everything. Can it cause? Now, there are some cases where you can't help, and I don't want, you know, and that's where we have to stay within God's boundary, or you'll go crazy. You got where I'm coming from? You'll go crazy, you know, and that's the one thing. But in the main sense, this is where we have to have that relationship with God so we understand where that is. Do you understand that? Okay? You have to understand where that level is and how to keep it. But you're purposely saying, I'm doing what I can not to cause somebody to fall. And that's a purpose in life. That should be a major purpose in each and one of our lives. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? And we should be focused on it. Now, to truly glorify God is to look out for others. Do not be a part of the problem. Okay? That's the true way to glorify God. This is in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 11, 1. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, we read that all the time because he covers everything with that to let you know your whole life is to glorify God. Now, you get some people that will read that and then they'll make up their definition of glorifying God. I don't watch TV because that's not glorifying God. I don't do this because it's not glorifying God. And they'll make up stuff and you'll go, but if you ask the simple question of, so why is that not glorifying God? Right? Or why is what you just did glorifying God? I remember when I went to a session and they played a certain type of music. And after they played a certain type of music, the person was like, this is so wholesome, it's angelic, and so on and so forth. And I asked the simple question, how do you know it's angelic? When do you hear an angel sing? And I was serious to the point because they were bashing another type of Christian music. And that was my question. I was like, so what if that's angelic? What if we get up there and they sound more like this? And this other one, you see Satan and this group playing this. Explain to me how you... And I mean, it was a simple question. And they were like... It was funny. I can't go with that. But it's so deep. But the story... But it's something to make us understand. We make up these things. To glorify God is to just follow what his word says. When I eat or drink, I check his word, make sure it's in line with his word, and that's it. Don't add to it or take away from it. Don't make more of it or take, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? We sometimes overdo it or we underdo it when it comes to that. But then he goes into it. So he says in 32, do not cause anyone to stumble. He didn't say try not to. Do you notice that? He says do not. This is a straight command. Whether Jew, Greek, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good. And this pleasing he's talking about is not pleasing them based on them. He means pleasing them based on God. You understand? Because there was another verse saying, if I was still trying to please man, then I would not be a servant of God. You remember that verse? All right. This one is talking about, I live for you. And that's what he said. Even as I try to please everyone in every way. Basically saying, I live my life in order to for everyone else's good. For I am not seeking my own good, basically what I want, but the good of many, where he cleans it up, so that they may be saved. Did y'all catch that? Yes.
And I know we talked about it before, but just for other people, like just because maybe they're the one that has a personal preference on something, and even though you may have tried to consider them, So on the situation side, I'm just thinking maybe it's around dress. All right, somebody's dressed in a certain way, and the person that's, you know, that's stumbling or whatever.
Right.
What if it's their personal views and opinions that's causing them to stumble also?
Right. And nine times out of ten, it will be. So we'll get to that. But let me kind of answer it now. In some cases, if I know that, and y'all know the verse I'm talking about, but like the eating meat part, that's God made clear that there's nothing wrong with that. That's a person's personal preference. However, if it's really what's causing them, then you know what? I won't wear it again. I won't dress this way then. And then you're doing it not in the sense of just not to wear it. You're doing it in the sense of this is causing a problem and this is not worth it. And now you still then find opportunities to teach and to train, and then one day they may go, oh, so it wasn't about the dress. Now you can go back to the dress. You understand where I'm coming from. But the point of it is, you'll say to yourself, you know what, I'll never wear that dress, or, and you shouldn't be wearing a dress anyway, but I'll never wear that clothing if it causes my brother to stumble. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's where that, when we get to that verse, where he's saying, I won't eat meat. I will do some basic things, because 90% of what causes us to stumble is us. Do you understand that?
So, yeah, so I guess, so say example, like we eat in the sanctuary.
Yes.
So somebody old school is like, you don't eat in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
So say it's just one or two people.
Yes.
And they're saying that's their issue.
Yep.
Do you change that whole rule for the two people or for the good of the church? You know what I'm saying?
And I may. And because that's a freedom. I may. If I notice it was really causing a problem, even with one person, you may hear me as a pastor going, you know what, we're not going to be eating in the sanctuary anymore. Now, one thing you're going to understand, that doesn't deny God. Like, for instance, if somebody said, pastor, because the sermons are blah, 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 long, that's the stumbling block, then they can stumble. Because we're going to see later where Jesus says, blessed is man that doesn't stumble on account of me. Okay, that part out. In other words, so it's only based on freedoms. Please, everybody understand that. It's based on freedoms. And eating in the church is a freedom. We can do with or without that. We don't have to have it. It's a, you know, something that we choose to do, and it causes somebody. Because that's why even in dress, I chose the humble dress less than dressier dress. You got where I'm coming from? Because it's easier on people to come in when they don't have than people to have to wear a suit all the time. And both can cause people to stumble. You understand what I'm saying? So I got to be very careful. And that's why I'm going to tell you, I want y'all to dress as bummy as possible. And I'm not going to say that, but I'm not going to say wear your fine. But you can wear what you want when you come in here. You know what I mean? You have some coming here and looking sharp, and the other ones not looking sharp. You know what I mean? And here we go with both cases, right? It just goes, you know, where it just works out. And that's how you dress and how you want to be comfortable. You know what I mean? And that's okay. To where you just got to be careful that we're not, you know, we try to make it. And that's where we're going to see the verse of how to make that work. But we'll go through a lot of this. In that, but good question. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. It continued on in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians, he says in chapter 11, 1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And that's what he's saying. We go back to the Gospels and we watch Jesus lived for others. He watched how he did, how he acted, the things he did, and it was always based to glorify God. So even when he did stuff to upset people, now think about this. I'm going to use this as an example. Reason why I understand that line of I follow example of Christ. Some of us wouldn't eat with sinners because of what people would think. Now, that's where I got to look with God and go, well, me eating with sinners, why is that wrong? Do y'all get where I'm going with that? That's where we got to be very careful. Remember we did the thing on wrong righteousness? You have some that become so righteous, we can't help anybody because we become, once again, sanitized instead of sanctified. Jesus is like, how am I going to help them? It's the sick that needs doctors. You don't go, we're a hospital, but you got to be healthy before you come in here. You know what I mean? That's nonsense. But that's what we do sometimes. We only hang around Christians. I told you there's one place I worked, and the lunch, the Christians only went together. And when they got together, Christians only did stuff together. When they invited stuff, the Christians only did stuff together. And people called them weirdos. And they were like, Keith, you're a Christian, right? Why aren't you with the weirdos? And it was just like, they would joke. And I couldn't bash them, but I couldn't. But it was an awkward situation where I was like, well, I mean, I think they're just comfortable in the sense, well, okay, they don't want to come with us. No, Keith, you're going to hang with us? You know what I mean? It was just one of those. I would try to explain that to them. You understand? But then I couldn't go with the other group and then do what they're doing. We have to go to minister. Do you understand that? And it's something where we have to be very careful not to, like, distance ourselves based on us, making up stuff. Yeah.
(Clears throat)
she was thinking, if I could talk fast enough, maybe I can get there before the mic gets okay.
So, getting back to Sister Karen's scenario about the woman who was going out into the community. So now I think I'm understanding, because at first I was confused. So I think what you're saying, it's okay for her to do that, but she shouldn't be engaging in it.
Exactly. And not only okay, at sometimes we probably need to do more of that. We need to be amongst them in order to minister to them, but don't participate in the sin of them.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes, absolutely. So this is, there is a church, like they actually have a booth, and they go, you know, they're out in Vegas, and they have a booth in the porn thing, and they have, and it's, but it's a Christian, very strong Christian booth and everything like that, and they minister, and they don't treat them any different, they don't treat them bad, and they have a booth there every year. And they sit up there and they give out tracts and they minister and stuff like that. And they're right there in the center. And they say, we pay the money to do it. And they say, we get people to come. And they even say, there are some people in this church right now that have been even been delivered from that. So we got recovered. But we go, oh, no, I can't. But they made sure they understood, you know, we got a display so people didn't see us kind of sneaking in there and putting the thing up and saying, use that as an example. But they're like, you can't minister to them if you're not around them. Do you understand that? Our light, that's what he meant when he said, do not hide your light under a bushel, you let your light shine. That's the whole thing. I got to get into the darkness to let it shine. However, I can't become part of the darkness because then my light goes out. If that makes sense. You have another question?
I'm sorry, Mark.
Mark's fine. Mark enjoys it.
So those were kind of extreme situations, but
yes.
When we're talking about even our coworkers at work.
Yes. Even more so. What did I say? When they get on your nerves? There you go.
I remember.
Yo, Belly. Brother Mark, you tell her what you do when you. But remember, the reason I'm saying, when I say if they get on your nerves, take them to lunch, not because you're going to be best friends, you're going to love. You may come back and go, well, that was the worst lunch ever. But it's. So I'm showing myself that I'm making myself available in order to. And I don't mean you take them there and then say, listen, brother, I want to get you saved. You want to go, and they'll never go to lunch with you again. It's one of those now. You may never even talk about God, but when they watch how you are at lunch, they watch how you are treating them, even though they're treating you bad. When they watch, you know what I mean? They're watching these things. Mm-hmm. It may make them. I told you it was one guy who worked, and this really worked in a sense where when I first started at this one place in Blue Ball Bank, they all warned me about this guy. And he would purposely do stuff to get on your nerves. I mean, he would jab at you and say the worst things and stuff like that. So it was one time where I even heard a sermon about that same thing, though. Then be the Christian in it. And I remember I came every morning, I'd say, good morning. What's so good morning? Why do you keep saying this good and stuff like that? I'd smile. And I'd come back and every time I talked to him. And as time went on, one time he was having lunch and I was walking in with my lunch. He said, pulled his chair over and said, you gonna sit with me? And so I did. You know what I'm saying? Didn't care to, do you understand? But it was one of those where I was able to talk to him more and more. And you know, and it was one of the times where people were like, the only person I can go talk to him is Keith. Do you understand? And it was the truth, because he was a jerk, but I think it was more of a protection, it was more of a shield. But now I got him in, instead of me going, I could have sat with my friends, I'd rather have sat with them. But when he did that the one time, I'm like, okay, so every once in a while, I would bring a lunch in and sit with him. And one time we even went out. One time there was something happening in New Holland that he said, "This you got to go to this thing and taste this, whatever." And he treated, when I told people, they're like, you understand? But the key we're putting out there is you make yourself available. You understand it? In order to minister. And that's where that is our responsibility. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? So like Jesus, like I said, be careful on the things that you do and don't do. That's where we have to really stop and pray about it. And it's good to have the conversation for somebody to go, okay, what does the Bible say about this? So we're not making up holy things that we understand. Like I said, that woman, if she said I was amongst the prostitutes and I had to dress a certain way so they didn't think I was something. Like, but if she dressed overly wholesome, now I'm not saying, even when she dressed, if she did it in a way that it wasn't too revealing, but it's still that they wouldn't suspect, but they would talk to her. And then the more they talk to her, the more they put their guard down. And the more they put their guard down, the more you have now their attention. But once again, not just to preach at them, but then they listen, and they know you're listening to them, and then they hurt, and then the light shines, seed planted, they come to Christ. And it works that way, as the Bible puts it, and that's how we have to make sure we do it. Amen?
Yes.
Okay. Other questions? Amen. So, now, the true Christian falls, but always gets up. Okay, as he says, everyone falls. But like it says in Proverbs 24:16, it says, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. The falling part is not the problem. We're going to fall. And God knows that. But the getting up is what we must do. It says, but the wicked are brought down by calamity. Okay, so the wicked are all, they're just falling. They're going down. That's going to be the difference. You'll see a Christian fall, but get up. We just don't want to be a reason for that falling. So the falling itself is not a problem. In other words, and I want to be careful with that because I don't want somebody to say, oh, the pastor says it's okay to sin. No, I'm saying it's understanding. But a Christian, when he says gets back up, he's saying that Christian realizes, wait, that was wrong. I need to work on that. Can, brother or sister, can you help me with this? Hey, I'm struggling with that. They understand that. That's the getting up. Getting up doesn't mean I sin and then I did. And then I sin and I, no, no. It's I fail and got up means, ooh, that can't happen again. So if I fall again, it'll be something else maybe, but I can't let that, or if I have a problem with that. Do you see the problem here? But we're continually going, how can I serve God? And not, oh, well, God doesn't care, and I keep going down, and that's going to be the big part. So what are some causes of stumbling? Some causes of what make people stumble. First of all, living for Christ can cause us to stumble. This is what I was talking about earlier, and I'll show you an example. Luke 7, verse 23 says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said this after John the Baptist and his disciples out, and they were asking. Because John the Baptist, now remember, in the beginning, he was powerful, and you know, and here comes the Lamb of God, and he had everything, he baptized him, he got to hear as the Spirit fell upon him and heard God say, you know, this is my son who I'm proud and love, and we hear all that. Now he's in jail and he's going, so are you the one we're waiting for, or is there somebody else? And if you remember, Jesus used scripture to let him know. He basically said, no, tell him you've seen the blind see, you've seen the lame walk, so on and so forth. He gave him things that you've seen in Isaiah. And he gave them that, but then he said this line, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Majority of Christians are going to fall because they're Christian. And now, here's the thing, and this is one thing stuck with me as a pastor, that's why I better preach the word and not preach an emotional, a desirable, a feel good. Do y'all get wrong with this? Because I can preach something that you'll say, amen, you'll feel good about if you leave out here, not based on God's word. And when it doesn't work out the way I just taught you, you fall. Did y'all get that? If I give you this, God's going to give you exactly what you want. You just wait. You go out there and you pray. Still didn't happen. You just wait. Still didn't happen. You just wait. Still didn't happen. I don't know how long it may take, but eventually you'll sit there going, and you'll finally get somebody to go, you do understand it may not work. It may not work out that way. They don't want to hear that. You understand that? But they may go. And I've seen many people leave a church from getting a message, not from God, but using God. In fact, this is the most common. And this is why we, itching ears, we go find a feel-good church until we don't feel good anymore. And then we fall. And we blame it on Christ. And it happens continually. Does that make sense? And then others fall immediately when you do give them the truth, because they don't like the immediate. I grew up in a church that was more fire and brimstone, so they try to scare you into heaven. Then you had the other ones, a church I was in, like I said, they overdid it with what God is going to give you. I mean, it was just, he was a slot machine that gave every time you get. So he was the over, you know, productive. They love that press down, stirred, press down, shaken. And, you know, they love that verse. Why? Because you just get so much. He's going to, my cup overruns and all this other stuff. You got that. Then I had the other one, which was just so, they gave you stuff that built upon what you liked, how you lived, or what you were scared of. They built upon your feelings. And eventually, you fail. And that's what that means. Y'all get that? Even though I see all y'all kind of looking like, hey, man, any questions on that? I don't know what that means. I don't know if y'all don't get it or if you're going, or does everybody understand that? The whole, okay, it's very dangerous, but it's a very common thing. So Jesus is saying it's going to happen. There are going to be people that are not going to like what they hear. That's why we walk by faith. You understand that? And like I say, more and more, that's why they even chose me. Keith, you're not here to, I don't want somebody to come and say, I really enjoyed. That's fine when they do that, but I get concerned when they do that. I don't want you to enjoy. I want to, did you receive the word? It's all. Do you understand? Did you receive the word? A lot of times we look for enjoyment, so we become entertainers, we become comforters, and things of that sort. You know what I mean? So we want to make sure that we're not trying to cater to the flesh, we're trying to minister to the spirit. Yes.
So then the stumbling part is because we're not getting what we want.
That's a big part of it.
Or what we think we, what we're, because the trials or whatever keep coming.
Yep.
Okay, so I guess that's why the scriptures are about not growing weary and
yeah,
doing good.
Exactly. And count it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds and stuff like that. Because as powerful as John was, we're seeing in it that it didn't end up the way he thought. Somehow. You know what I mean? Because for all the prophecy and whatever God has given him to see about Jesus, for him to go, are you really Jesus? That means something by sight didn't work out the way he thought. And this is very common today. You hear a lot of people's picture of Jesus, and it's disturbing sometimes. Because you want to go, and you know, and I think a lot of us as Christians, I know as a pastor, I'm caught in that, because you hear somebody give this beautiful picture that's not Jesus. Does that make sense? Yes.
Yeah, because I know myself, I was watching the scene from Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to put something together, and I was still waiting for God to come through and do something.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, man.
Even though you knew the answer.
I already knew that.
In the movie, they were going to change it, maybe.
Yeah, I was still waiting. And
maybe in the sequel. No, I'm sorry.
and it just made me think of that verse where it was like foolishness to the Greeks and stumbling
block
to the Jews. It just made me think of that because they're thinking, you know.
Why wouldn't he do something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on my intelligence, you're absolutely right. And it's funny because I love to go back to this because it shows how stupid I am. In my own sense, I go, that makes no sense. And I enjoy that it makes no sense because it shows how messed up I am. Because I already know he's the right way. So when I go, when I've done that, maybe not that way. That's why I need to follow God. Do y'all see this? You know what I mean? It should make you immediately go, oh, that's how foolish I am. But sometimes we get caught up in ourselves going, well, that's how God want to do it then. And we're almost talking like, okay, God, you do it your way. I guess I'll follow your way as if you made a mistake, but you're God. You know what I mean? Instead of realizing, no, that was right. And I still can't grasp that. That's what's so powerful about it. So that's why faith has to be this 100% trust. That why y'all think I love Proverbs 3:5, it was life-changing. When he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. That right there covered everything for me. It said, Keith, just do what I say. Do you got where I'm coming from? Got it. Some things I may explain to you. Other things I'm just going to tell you what to do. Trust me. And that's exactly what he said. And when I got it, I was like, oh. And he said, oh, and by the way, you're going to have some understanding that's not going to follow what I say, but you need to trust me. Do y'all get that? And then it was like a light where you're like, got it. You know what I mean? And it opens up your eyes. We still go in with our own understanding. And when you get this beautiful picture of God, right, that you think is beautiful, and then whenever a certain time in your life comes and that picture starts gets distorted, and you look at it, you start going, come on, God. What's going on? And then you fall. Do y'all get this? This is why a true relationship with God is so necessary. A true relationship. Because there is a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot. He puts a lot in the New Testament on trials, suffering, endurance, hardship, doesn't he? A lot of it. Why do you think he does it? Because he's letting you know, oh, you're going to go through this thing, this fighting thing against the body. And look what he, and we'll stop here on, and we'll give the example next time we come together. But if you go to, I want you all to turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And look at, what I'm going to read 39 and 40. Now watch it. And this is faith. Hebrews 11. Make sure everybody gets there. If you're there, tell me I'm there. All right. And he says, verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, watch this, yet none of them received what had been promised. Did y'all catch that? None of them received what. And you're like, wait a minute, did God lie? No, he's saying in verse 40, God planned something better for us so that all together with us would they be made perfect. So in other words, promise is going to come, but not necessarily there. Not in what their minds probably would have thought. Not in what they would have seen. It's something so much better. It still wouldn't fulfill the promise because God can't lie. But it didn't fit that time. You understand? They all died and not yet received this major promise that you died. And I think a lot of us sometimes paint this picture. I'm stressing to you, get rid of those pictures. To say, God, give me each step. That's all I want. Sometimes we need to get rid of our entire maps and just follow his each day step. Does that make sense? Give me the instructions for today. Remember, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. So I'm giving my instructions for today. Okay. Because if he gives you the whole entire map, you're going to be, what the heck? Why am I going? Think about it. If the Israelites got a map, when they were leaving Egypt, what would they have said? You do know it only takes 2 weeks to get where we're going. And why are we going to the Red Sea? Right? They didn't have to necessarily go to the Red Sea if you look at the journey. They did not have to do that. However, it was a major part of the entire walk. And it took months. And the reason why it took 40 years wasn't the walk, okay? The 40 years was their fault. But it took months for a two-week journey. And God explains that. But it took months. And later on, God even said, if you notice your shoes didn't wear out, clothes didn't wear out, they never had to stop at JCPenney or Sears or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, but you understand that. So in all that way, in the same way in our lives, I think we have a picture made of God. But remember, using the Israelites in the same way, what did they keep doing? You just brought us out here to die. Why did you leave us in Egypt to die? I don't understand why you did this to us, Moses. You understand this? And then they would get back with God when God would feed them or give them water. God, we do love you. Yes, we'll be yours, and we'll be. And what, 2 weeks later, why did you bring us out here to die? We could die there. We're sick and tired of this manna. And they threw birds at them. You know what I mean? We're sick and tired of these birds. But y'all, and it's funny because we do this instead of just trusting Him. Is this the way you're gonna take God? Got it. Thank you. Yeah, I know the person over here seems like he's doing better. I'm gonna stop looking at him. Give me that encouragement. I need that encouragement. Do you understand that? And I'm going to keep walking in the way you provided for me. Amen? All right. Any questions? All right. Let us pray.